Grab your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalms 23. Psalms 23, verse 4. Any extra Bibles? These guys down front don't have any. A couple of them do. They have to share. Psalms 23, verse 4. Psalms 23. And verse 4. I'll give you a moment to find that. Psalms 23 and verse 4. We found out something today. We do need Brother Phillips to help us run our offering. He's in Texas. We never realized how important he was as an usher until we had this offering today. So, all right. Psalms 23, verse 4. Psalms 23, verse 4. If you have that, we'll stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read to you verses 4 and 5, very common verses. Psalms 23, verses 4. And 5. The Bible says this: Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And I'll read those two verses one more time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And today I want to talk to you about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We pray, Father, that you bless the folks that have come. Bless this time now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'm going to speak on that little line, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the question often is asked is, when was the 23rd Psalm written? Just when was it written? Most people would say that David wrote it when he was still a young lad, tending sheep. And he may have, but I don't necessarily think so, and I'm not convinced of that. Definitely the flair of the shepherds in there. This is definitely, he was a shepherd, and there's a lot of things to learn about a shepherd. But most people would say probably when he was a young lad. But the 23rd Psalm, I think, is a far too serious psalm to be written just by a boy, although I think he was a very responsible boy as a young shepherd. I don't know of any time in David's life before he was anointed at the house of Jesse, that is, where he could have probably said this statement, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And he says that in verse 5 there. I don't think he could have said that in his teenage years. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So I think David probably wrote that at a different time. In fact, I'm going to say he probably wrote it back when the rebellion of Absalom was taking place. And he had fled the country. He had gone to a place called Menahem. And there he was hiding out. And when he was at that place, stop with the feet, boys, on the end, or I'm going to separate both of you. It's not just Samuel, it's both of you. When he was at that place, Menahem, he saw two different worlds there. Definitely saw two different worlds there. And he had seen two camps. The fact the word means the place of two camps. And so he had not only seen the camp of the people on this earth, but I believe God gave him the ability there to see, to peep into heaven also. God pulled the curtain back. David saw God's armies up there. And he saw God's armies up there. What are they going to do? Protect him is what they're going to do. What was he looking at there when he was hiding out? He was facing death, facing death, and he was facing death. And so it was a dark time for David. So I think he probably said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That was definitely a time, even if he didn't write it during that exact time, that was definitely a time when he could have said that, "That thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And so probably when he wrote that. But he writes also, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's look at the first line of that in our verses here. Because I think nothing makes us probably flinch quite like death. Nothing makes us flinch quite like death. And nothing causes us to fear quite like the thought of going to die. People get sobered up when they find out maybe they're going to die real soon. Death seems to bring that that sort of attention where people are sobered up and they've got their attention all of a sudden. None of us would probably be overly happy this morning if we found out suddenly our lives are going to be taken from us maybe by this afternoon. And sometimes that can happen, we don't know it. But if we think death's near, it bothers us. I believe probably a couple different times in my life I've come close to death, even without realizing it until after the fact sometimes. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, there's been a couple times I think I probably wouldn't have lived. I have no doubt about that. I remember when I first, years ago, as many of you know, I was a deputy sheriff before I was a pastor. And when I first started working, first night on the job after getting out of the police academy, first night on the job, they had a shooting take place there in the town. And it was a fellow shot another guy with a rifle. And he was a guy that lived out of town on a farm. He was a survivalist type of a person. And he was out there, and we were manhunting for him all night. And it was, man, quite an experience. First night on the job out here. And looking for him everywhere and so forth. Of course, we started at obvious place. He did a shooting in town, but figured, okay, this guy is going to flee. He fled out of town in a vehicle. He's going to flee to his farm, of course. So what do? We search the place. What do? We search the barn. What I find out later? Hey, found out later, a couple days later, that guess what? We never found him that night, but when we were in the barn, he was up above us with a rifle. He could have picked every one of us off and killed us that night. So you realize, oh, wow, could have been close to death right there. Close to death right there. And it's a sobering thought. Another occasion I remember back also when I was working there, one night an emergency had taken place, and an emergency call came out that there was a deputy in need of assistance, and there was a man with a knife that had drawn a knife. And I remember going up Highway 24 when they gave the call, and so we responded. I was responding as well as some others, and they going up Highway 24, probably about 110 miles an hour in my police car. And guess what? I had forgotten that all week long they'd been doing something up there. At the junction, Highway 275 junction, they'd been moving that intersection. They'd been moving that road, and they took the road and they moved it over. Now, I'd flown through that intersection many times because there's a clear view. You can see Highway 275 at night to the right or to the left. If there's no headlights, you know there's nobody coming. There's a stop sign there at the intersection, yes, but guess what? When you're going with emergency lights on, you just go right through it. Only problem was, guess what's on the other side now? A ditch. They just moved the road. They got done tearing it all up, dug the whole thing out, still had all of the equipment and so forth around out there. And when I went through that intersection, guess what? I went straight. There was no road underneath me, though. And so I went straight. I went into the ditch. I came out the other side of the ravine, back onto the road. To the highway, yeah. The undercarriage of my car wasn't too good a shape by the time it was all done, but had I gone just a few feet to the right or just a few feet to the left, to the right was a telephone pole or utility pole they just placed in, and to the left was one of the earth movers that was still sitting there behind, and so I only had just a few feet on each side, came through. Now, the whole thing happened about that fast, and I responded to the call, got there and everything else, Of course, when we got done, looked at the car, and it wasn't too good a shape on the side. Sheriff wasn't too happy. But anyway, you never know. You never know sometimes. Just in the snap of a finger, you could be dead. Something could happen. Death could be near. In this particular case, David didn't know if he was going to make it or not. Absalom rose up against him, wanted to kill him. He had to flee, had to go hide out, didn't know. But he knew one thing, God had prepared before him a table, amen, in the presence of his enemies. And so none of us likes to think of death this morning. But I think that the thought of death sobers us up very quickly. The thought of death changes our minds very quickly. But to me, death's not a bad thing. I don't worry a great deal about death anymore, amen. It's just a change of habitation. It's just a change of habitation. It's just a move from one place to another, amen. To me, nothing's as overrated as death. Because if you've put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's what gets you to heaven, amen. Not your own righteousness. Your own righteousness is nothing but a filthy rag. Your own righteousness gets you nowhere. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's placed on your account when you accept him as your personal Savior. So when you die, you're just stepping from one shore to the next. It's just a change of habitation, folks. So death's overrated, I think. If you're not saved now, it's probably underrated, though. You have a right to fear. You have a right to shrink back. You have a right to worry. You have a right to cringe. And you have a right not to want to look at a dead corpse somewhere. You have a right not to want to talk about it. If you're not saved, you have a right to want to put something else in your mind because you don't want to think about it. But to those that are saved, death is highly overrated because all you're doing is switching from one shore to the next, one habitation to the next. I've watched people die throughout these years. In Psalms 23:4, David shows us the way to go. What a way to go. He thought that he was about to die. He was what? Facing death. He was at death's door, perhaps. He didn't know if he'd make it to the next day. But he did not die there. He did make it through. But he thought that he was going to die. He related it to the days when he would take his herd of sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. There is such a place. And I've taught on that before in Bible studies and so forth to some of you that have been here for him. In this place, one misstep can bring certain and sudden death. One misstep in this place. In this place, one misstep could be the end. I want this morning to call your attention to five words in that statement. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. First of all, this morning, I want you to notice the word I. The word I. We're talking about Psalms 23:4. The word I. The word I is the smallest word in the English language. It's the smallest word in the English language. He said, yea, though I walk. He didn't say we. He said I. Yea, though I walk. He likened death to walking through the mountain pass there. In the eastern lands, when a person came to a mountain pass, they would find a guide. Why? To help guide them through so they could get to the other side. That guide would come and meet them at the first part of the pass, and they would take them all the way through to the other side, guide them through. Then the guide would leave and let him go on his own from there. He would say, we walked through the mountain pass. David likened death to this, though. Here was a valley, a mountain pass, if you will. It was a very dangerous place. David didn't say, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He was saying this. Every man had to go for himself. Nobody else could go with him or for him. You can call the preacher when you're sick, but you can't call him when you're dead. You can call your wife to be by your bedside. You can be afraid of the dark and call your dad. But if you face death, you face death by yourself. I mean, when the cold, chilling hand of the death angel comes and the doctor looks at you and feels for a pulse but finds none, you're on that journey by yourself. Nobody from this earth is going with you. He puts a blood pressure cuff on you and there is nothing to take. It's it. It's over. It's done. You have to go by yourself. Your wife, your preacher, your husband, whatever the case may be, a friend, they cannot go with you. You have to go by yourself. Oh, they might be there holding your hand. But once you die, you're going by yourself. You're going by yourself. By yourself. That's the most important thing in this world for us to take care of, and that's this: being ready to die. Are you ready to die? Because when you die, you go by yourself. Nobody goes with you. Mama don't go with you. Brother or sister don't go with you. Your friend don't go with you. You go by yourself. By yourself, are you ready to go? By yourself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a man that is not prepared to die is the biggest fool in all the world, and they've rejected the truths of the Word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. They've rejected that. Number two this morning, notice the word walk in our scripture. The word walk. The word walk implies a steady jaunt. He didn't run. Nobody runs to death. If I were to say you're going to die today, you wouldn't say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. David didn't say, I'm dragged or I'm pulled. He didn't reluctantly go. No. He said, I walk step by step. David said, I'm not afraid to die, but I don't want to go to heaven just yet. That's what he said. That's what he was saying. Paul said, I'd rather stay because it's more needful for other people that I stay. David said, I'm afraid to go. By the way, when you get completely right with God, you won't enjoy the journey, but you won't be afraid to go, because David wasn't afraid to go. I think I said he was afraid to go. He wasn't afraid to go. He wasn't afraid to go. Someone told John R. Rice one time, old preacher, he said, somebody's going to kill you one of these days if you don't quit preaching like you do. He said, brother, you're not going to scare me with going to heaven. And that's the honest, simple truth, folks. You maybe don't want to go, but if you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of that. You want to stay because there's things. I want to stay because there's things I think I need to do for the Lord. And the Lord will leave me here as long as He thinks I'm needed here. But there's folks I want to win. Amen. There's folks I want to help and so forth. But as the Bible says, and it's scary sometimes, but as the Bible says, I rod and I staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Amen. I'm prepared. I'm saved. I'm born again. My name's written in heaven. I'm ready to go. Amen. I hope that you are this morning. If I have to go, I'll go. I'll be glad to go. I'm not going to shrink from it. You got to realize that, hey, you never know when it's going to take place. Make sure you're ready to go. Make sure you're ready. A little boy was on a ship at sea one day. A storm came and everybody got real scared. The crew was scared. The passengers were scared. Everybody was scared. They had prayer meetings going on all over the boat because they were scared to death. Everyone on board was scared but this one little boy. He was having the time of his life. That boat was rocking from side to side. Everybody was going this way and sliding back that way and getting knocked all over the deck. And he was just smiling as big as life could be. He was having the time of his life. Oh, he was excited. He thought this was great. He wasn't worried about a thing. I mean, it was so bad the crew were scared. Grown men were afraid and crying. Everybody was sure they were going to die, but that little boy was not worried at all. Had the biggest smile. Finally, a man walked up to him and he said, little boy, aren't you scared about this storm at all? He said, no, sir. The man asked him, he said, why, little boy, are you not scared? He said, everybody else is scared, little boy. How come you're not scared? The little boy replied, because my daddy is the captain. And I'm not afraid because daddy can take care of anything. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, my heavenly Father is the captain, amen. He is the one who on the cross shook death and stomped it and killed it, amen. Death is dead as far as I'm concerned. He's the captain, amen. He's in charge. There's no reason to be concerned, amen. No wonder the apostle could say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Death stung Jesus, but it'll never sting anybody else. Never sting anybody else that trusts Jesus as their Savior. Years ago, when Dr. DeHaan's little boy, Richard, was a little tyke, he came to his dad one day and asked, Dad, what does this mean? Oh, death, where is thy sting? And the good doctor reminded him of a day when a bee had stung Richard on his hand. Richard came to his father with this burning feeling from the bee sting in his hand, and the doctor said, Dr. Hand, he said, that's the last person that bee will ever sting. Richard asked him why, and he said, son, a bee can only sting one time. When it puts its stinger into somebody, the stinger's left behind and cannot sting anybody else with it. Folks, that's what death is like. That's what death is like. You can't sting anybody else with it. That's what Paul meant when he said, oh death, where is thy sting? 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the sting out of death when he went to the cross, folks. Death came and put its ugly, venomous fangs into the body of our Lord. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He bore my sins and your sins while he hung on that tree, dying for us. I'm not worried about death anymore, and you don't have to be either if you've accepted him as your Savior this morning. You don't have to cringe when you feel pain in your heart. You don't have to say, I wonder what will happen when I die. You don't have to. Now, if I were not saved, I'd wonder what would happen also. But if I was saved, I wouldn't worry about it. See, I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid to die. You can be like David this morning and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You can say, my daddy's the captain. Amen. He's the captain. So the first important word in this phrase is the word I. The second is the word walk. Now let me show you a third important word, and that's this. Number three this morning, notice the word through. The word through. Have you ever noticed that word through? Amen. David didn't say the valley of the shadow of death. He said through the valley of the shadow of death. David saw through the tunnel to the other side. Amen. A lot of people say, well, you come to the time to die, but David didn't say to. He wasn't talking about coming to death, but through death. Amen. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's saying, I see the other side. Amen. He looked up and saw not only the camp on earth, but the camp in heaven there at Menahem. He saw God's chariots, his horses, armies in heaven, while the dust of the battle in Jerusalem was raging, and while Absalom was still fighting against his forces, he was facing the darkest day of his life. It looked like he was going to be killed, but he said, I see something more than this old world. I see the next world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Somebody wrote a little track. They printed the words of some people as they were dying without God. Listen to this. Sir Walter Scott, a renowned atheist, said, until this moment, I thought there was neither a God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty. Men can live without God, but they can't die without him. They can't die without him. Folks, I've seen people die without God. People get upset. They scream. They holler. And you don't see as much of it now as you used to. They got people sedated so much and so forth that you don't even hardly know sometimes. But I'll tell you what, you go back a little while ago and it wasn't so much that way. Some people, they died without God. Man, it was a horrible thing. History account proves it without a doubt. About many people, many folks seen die. They have anguish when they die. They're very upset. They're very distraught when they die. But it's those who are dying without having Christ as their personal Savior by their own testimony. Those who rejected Christ. Those who would not accept God's simple plan of salvation. If nothing else would call you this morning to believe in God, the Bible, heaven and hell, you ought to watch an unsaved person die that's not under sedation sometime. It'll make you a believer, I promise you that. If you didn't, you must not be too smart, because I tell you what, it's an unsavory sight. History tells of it. Yea, though I walk through, Amen. That's the great difference between the saved and the unsaved. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. The unsaved just walk into it. The unsaved just walk into it. A French statesman, Charles D. Talleyrand Perigord, if I said his name right, he said this when he died, "I'm suffering the pangs of the damned." The atheist Hobbes said, "I am taking fearful leap into the dark." The infidel Adam said this, "I am lost, lost, lost. I am damned forever." His agony was so great that he tore his head, his hair out of his head as he passed away into hell. Edwards said, "I am damned for all eternity." Voltaire, the heathen pagan atheist who dared to wave his finger at a just God and deny his existence, lived without God. However, when he died, he said these words, "Oh Lord Jesus, I must die abandoned by God and men." His condition was so frightful that his infidel associates were afraid to approach his bed. After he passed, his nurse quoted these words to all of Europe, "I will never see another infidel die ever again and attend to them at their death." He lived denying God, but died confessing him. It was too late, though, for him. Thomas Paine, the wicked little atheist who went up and down the land denying God, may have turned more people's faith away from the Bible than any other person who ever lived. When the time came for him to die, he said, "Stay with me. For God's sake, I cannot be left alone." He passed away, and he said, "The devils are come. The devils are come. Hell and damnation has come to me." Only the atheist said, "My God, my God," then fell back to death. Marabu said, "Give me more opium that I may not think of eternity to come." Brown the atheist said, "Devils are in the room, ready to drag my soul down to hell." When Cave the atheist was dying, he cried, "Hell, hell, hell," with a terror that no pen can describe. He screamed it. It was more than his family could endure, so they fled from the house. He died alone. His own wife and children could not look upon his dying face, so they ran from the house. He died alone as he cried, "Hell, hell, hell." Sir Francis Newport said, "What argument is there to assist me against the matters of fact? Do I assert that there is no hell while I feel no one in my own bosom? There is a God, I know, because I continually feel the effects of wrath, that there is a hell. I am equally certain, having received an earnest of my inheritance already in my breast." If you would take that and compare it to what the saints of God said when they died, you'd see the difference. Some of them from our own church, they died happy. Dorothy Phillips and her family sang praises around the bed the night before she died. Family gathered around. Countless others from our church have died, and there was no screams of horror. There was no fear in their eyes. They were not afraid to die. There was no terror in their thoughts. Big, strong men may come along and say, "I don't need God." Yeah. Sure you don't. We'll see when you're facing death how much you need him or not. See how much. You'll have to give an account for all the wicked things you've done. You'll have to be face to face with God Almighty. The smirk on your face will crumble. Your sneer will go away. The mercy that you've rejected so many times will no longer be available to you. You'll plunge into hell to burn and die forever. You'd better shake yourself while there's still time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me give you a fourth word. Notice the word valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Yes, it's a valley. It's not easy. There's suffering and pain involved with a valley. That's why I'd like to die in bed when I die, amen? Because it's a valley. I would just like to be found dead the next morning, amen? I don't want to have to live with cancer and linger on like some do, and if that's my fate, then that's my fate. I'll deal with it, but that's not what I'd prefer, or what you, I'm sure you would prefer for yourself either. And by the way, one reason that I want Jesus to come is that I don't want to be in a closed box, amen? A fellow could suffocate in one of those boxes, you know? I don't like the idea of having anybody else choose my tie that I'll wear in my suit, or picking my socks and shoes, amen. The very idea of having someone else dress me just doesn't seem to sit well. Just bury me in what I have on, amen. Sure, death is a valley, amen. Those of us who walk with God know that that's where Jesus is, amen. He's in the valley. That's where you see him, amen. Where did Joshua see the unseen captain, amen? He saw him in the valley, Amen. In the valley. That's where he saw him. Did he see him on a mountaintop? No. He saw him when he faced the battle of Jericho. When did Stephen see Jesus at the right hand of God? Stephen, was it while he was preaching in power? No. He saw him when he was stoned to death outside the city of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 7. When did Paul see the third heaven? Did it happen when he was on the mountaintop? No. He was called up to the third heaven when he was stoned by the angry mob. When did Isaiah see the Lord? He saw him when he was in an hour of suffering and testing. Amen. He said, "Mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." Let me show you a fifth word this morning. That's this. Notice the word shadow here in our verse. Shadow. The first word is eye. The next word was walk. Then we said, look at the word through. Then we said the word valley is the fourth word. Now we're saying shadow is the fifth word this morning. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It isn't death, amen. The Christian doesn't die. It's just a shadow of death. Yes, it looks like death. Yes, it looks very much like death, and it's shaped like death, but it's not actually death. It's just a shadow of death. Don't you recall what the Lord said? "He that liveth and believeth in me shall" what? "Never die." The Bible's true, folks. Shall never die. It's just a shadow of death. See, I don't plan on ever really dying. I plan to quit breathing one day, but I don't plan on dying. Because the Bible's true. I have Christ, so I'll never die. My body will go back to the dust it came from. But my soul will live on forever because I've been granted eternal life through salvation in Jesus. The same can be true for you this morning if you haven't already accepted him. If you're saved this morning, you can say like that little boy in the ship, "My daddy's the captain. And there isn't anything he can't handle. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I hope that's you this morning. I hope you're saved this morning. Let's stand to our feet. I hope you know where you're going when you die.